Everybody here this morning. If you remember last week, I mentioned that snow was coming. It was just a little bit, just a taste of what's to come. Micah Peak and Mount Spokane are hidden under a cloud of fog, so you can't see how bad it really was, or what's actually coming. Let's start with a word of prayer. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this time that we have to come together and to study your word, and just pray, Father, that I can bring the lessons in a way that we can understand them, and we can apply them to our lives, Father, and that we can do your will. Pray, Lord, that you will be with those that are number sick, that they can be with us soon. Pray, Father, that you'll be with us, Father, that we will always remember what you have given us, and that we will be thankful for it. And as we're going to be looking at in Jude, that we can identify the false teachings and false teachers, Father, and that we won't let them infiltrate your family. Forgive us of our many sins. In Christ's name, amen. We are continuing our study in Jude. The first chapter of Jude. We won't go into the second chapter. any questions on the first four verses that we looked at last week? It's kind of just an introduction. I probably should have showed the first or the introduction or the outline of it, but that's fine. We'll get through it. All right, if you don't have any questions, then we'll go ahead. Oh, there's the outline. The salutation, verses 1 and 2, the danger that is at hand is what we looked at last week with the verses 3 and 4. Today, we'll get started into the dangerous man, verses 5 through 16, and then how to avoid danger, verses 17 to 23, and then the ending, verses 24 and 25. So we'll go ahead and look at verse 5. Thank you, Steve, for that. Or I don't know which one of you back there, but thank you for the sound. verse 5. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And we're going to look at this more in the next hour, and I don't want to give away. But he's talking about the children of Israel. And he saved them. They were in bondage in the land of Egypt. And they were crying up to God. And that was the reason that God got a hold of Moses. He says, I've heard, you know, my people crying. They're in bondage, and they want to get released. And so I'm going to bring them out of that bondage and take them to a land of flowing with milk and honey. You know, the promised land. But then, did they believe God? Did they follow God? No, they didn't. Okay? And so, as we see here, he destroyed those who did not believe. When was this? Okay, remember when he first took them, they came out of the wilderness, they went to the Jordan, and here's the promised land. This is what I have promised you. I'm giving you this land. And they took 12 spies, 12 spies, one from each of the tribes, the 12 tribes, and they went into and explored the land of Canaan for how long? 40 days, okay, which was a key point. And so they went through the land, and what did they see? What did they find? Giants, okay? Large crops. Remember that they brought back, you know, when we go to the store and we buy a clump, or what they call it, of grapes. No, it's not a bushel. A bunch. A cluster of grapes, whatever, you know, we can pick it up with one hand. We have a grapevine at one of the houses that I maintain. It's from the neighbor's yard, but it's growing over our fence. And it's probably one of the biggest clusters that I've seen. And it was like this long, real small grapes, but it was a big cluster like that, you know? Remember, they came from a land of giants. And one cluster of grapes was so big that they had to put it on a pole, and two men carried it like this. And I'm assuming, the scriptures don't say it, but I'm assuming that they weren't little grapes like we have. I'm assuming those grapes were like cantaloupes, okay? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. It just says it took two men on a staff to carry them. Yeah. But I think it was one cluster because of a land of giants that they had to have giant food to eat. I'm assuming, the Bible doesn't say, okay? And so what did they, you know, Aaron and Caleb said that we can take it. The Lord said he's going to give it to us. We can take it. But 10 of the spies said what? No, we can't do it. We went there. It's giants. It's you know, they got reinforced, you know, cities. They're have armies. There's no way we can do this. Even though God said, I'm going to give it to you, they said no. And the tribe said no. And so God said, fine. And took them out back into the wilderness for how long? 40 years. They had to suffer a year for every day that the spies were in the land. So 40 days equaled 40 years. And he did that for what reason? To kill off everybody above 20. So if you were 21 to whatever age, they had to die off in the desert so that when they came back after that 40 years, it was a whole new generation. And they are the ones that received the promised land. So when we see here that afterward destroyed those who did not believe, he's referring back, I think, to the Israelites that were above 20 that said, we can't take this land, even though God said it was ours, he would give it to us. Those are the ones that he killed off or allowed to die before they got it.
You know, they estimated that there was over a million people. Right.
Yes. Did Moses make it? No, Moses didn't even make it. He made it up to the Jordan and saw the promised land, but died. Why?
Because he disobeyed God.
Doing what?
He struck
the stone in anger to get water out of it. Instead of saying, God has given you this water and blessing that God, he hit it in anger. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to give you a test this morning, but a history lesson. But you did good. You all passed. Debbie, you had your hand up. Okay, fine. That's good. All right, so I know that was a lot for just that one verse of verse 5. Verse 6, and the angels who do not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Okay, there is a lot of scholar debate, okay, on what this verse 6 is talking about. There's a lot of, you know, debate as far, you know, between ministers, between people, whatever, on what this is talking about as far as the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority. Yes? Fine. Yes.
It's a warning to us that we can fall from grace.
Yes, we can.
That's what I think these three things are talking about, that God will take care of disobedient people.
They were God's chosen people. He took care of them. He gave them everything, as we're going to look at again. You're going to make me preach my lesson this morning. Give them everything that they wanted, but they still did not believe in God. They did not trust God. And they ended up not getting the promised land that he had promised them because they did not believe in him. They did not follow his rules, his guidelines, his commandments. And because of that, they did not get their promised land. And it's the same thing holds true to us. We have commandments, as we've been studying on Wednesday night. We have the things that we're supposed to be doing as Christians today. And we are promised heaven. We have our own promised land. But again, if we do not do God's will, we're not going to see that promised land just like the Israelites didn't. Jack? Okay. See what you started? Well, it's pure speculation, but let's go back to, we can start several different places. John 1, the Word was in the beginning. Who was the Word? Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus was before time, okay? And, they refer to Jesus as Lord.
He was the Son of God.
He was the Son of God, part of the Trinity, okay? And I think a lot of times when we see it in the Old Testament, the term being used as Lord, I think referred to Jesus, okay? But we always think of it being God. But I think it was Jesus. So with the several things that we see is happening in the Old Testament was Jesus. Even though, we get it in our minds sometimes that Jesus didn't exist or didn't start till he was born in the New Testament, we kind of forget that Jesus existed from time beginning, before time began, and was there during the Old Testament in heaven, okay? And so he was there during times, okay? And I'll go back to Daniel. Go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Make me bring it up again. How many people were in the furnace?
Four.
Okay. Again, I think that was Jesus because nobody has ever seen God. Okay. But we would all see Jesus later on. And so I think that was Jesus. So when they're saying here that Jesus saved the people, okay, he was part of it that saved the people out of Egypt, okay. And we'd have to go back and look at that story to see how that could be. But I mean, again, it's the scripture, so it's true. It's we know that. But they only knew it that Jesus, who saved the people, and that's telling us that Jesus was the one involved to save the people, save the Israelites, God's chosen, out of Egypt. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on verse 5 before we move on? Since somebody started it. Yes.
The first of three examples that you can give of this.
Yes.
So they did something. They chose to do something that got them kicked out of hell.
Right.
And so I don't think there should really be an argument over that. That seems what the Bible tells us. And he's given us examples. You can lose that
right. And he's going to give three examples, and they're three distinct examples as to, you know, it's not just the people. And as we read here in verse 6, he's starting off with angels. Okay. If we can go on to verse 6, if everybody's finished with verse 5. You know, the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. So he's starting off with heavenly beings. He's starting off with angels. Okay. Now, do we understand everything there is to know about angels? No, we don't. Okay. My father spent a great deal of his later years in researching angels. And he was pretty much, you know, when the internet started getting really big and all that, and he could get on it and, you know, figure out how to do it. And he ended up losing his eyesight, and he had to use it with where it talked back to him because he couldn't see. He had macular degeneration. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it started off as a little black speck that grew to big black circles in his eyes. And he drove his motor home like this, looking at the side of his eyes. And it's like, Dad, you don't need to be driving a motor home. Oh, I can see. I was like, no, you can't, you know, because he's driving through his peripheral vision. But he was doing research on angels. And his biggest question is, when did they get their wings? Because every time you see a picture or a painting of angels, they had wings. But in the scriptures, they don't show that, okay? And so he was trying to find out through history when angels got their wings. Anytime we'd go to gospel meetings and it was these big scholarly people, I've talked to you about the, down in Oklahoma City, we went to one and it was one of the scientists or whoever, scholars, that was working on the Dead Sea Scrolls. Dad cornered him afterwards and was asking him, you know, about that question. When did angels get their wings? So, but that was his big study on doing angels, and actually wrote a pamphlet or a book on that. Tori?
One of the booklets he did that I have for my prayer book, it says, did angels and messengers, are they the same word or meaning between angels and messengers?
Yes. Angel means messenger.
Angel means messenger. And so in a lot of places in the scripture where you see the word angel, you can insert the word messenger. In the New Testament, when they talk about messengers, you can say angel, or it says angels, I'm sorry. You can put in messenger, and it is the same meaning as that. You had your hand up. No, this is the English standard. Yes, I gave in. And right.
I mean, the original word is Greek word is kreios, which means Lord or Master, and some say, well, it's Jesus.
Yeah. Again, scholars, these learned biblical scholars. And like I mentioned it before, when you go through and look at the concordances, comments on any scripture, and when I pull it up on Bible Hub, it'll list 6, 7, 8 different commentaries, and you go through and look at their comments on that one verse, and very rarely do they ever match. They always say different things and all that, you know, so it they don't even agree with a scripture in the whole Bible, you know, so it's hard to really, but when you do that, you get different versions or different ideas of what it could mean. But again, we don't know specifically, so you have to come up with your own understanding of it. Kathy.
I think that, oh, sorry.
Right. And I think, like I said, that in our minds, we don't put Jesus till he was born. We don't think about him being involved in the Old Testament. And like I said, I think where it uses the word Lord, it's Jesus that was involved in the Old Testament. But we don't think about that. Kathy?
In verse 6, and the angels who did not stay within their position of authority, angels also did be prophets. Prophets that did not prophesy correctly or
right.
Prophesy even though they should have.
Yes. Again, it comes down to interpretation. But if you look at it the way it's listed as angels, okay, they go back, a lot of the scholars refer back to Genesis 6. And I'm just going to read it real quick. I thought I had the slide on here, but I don't. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the faces of the earth. Now this is just before the earth is destroyed. This is just before Noah building the ark. Okay, chapter 6 of Genesis. When men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them. Of course, you know, the first six chapter or first five chapters is dealing with the creation. And you had Adam and Eve and they're populating the earth. Okay. And so, it's that pyramid type of thing to where, you know, this man and woman create kids, this man and woman create kids, and, you know, and then it starts growing to populate the earth. And so that's what they're referring to here in verse 1 of chapter 6 of Genesis. So they're beginning to populate the earth. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves and all whom they chose. And again, we go back to the scholars in this term of the sons of God, they interpret that to be angels. That angels saw these beautiful daughters of men, that they left heaven and came down to earth to be with these daughters and had kids. Okay? So that's kind of what they refer to here in Jude chapter verse 6, that they did not stay in their position of authority, that they left heaven and came down, and they refer to this Genesis 6, verse 2, is one example, okay? And there's others, and we're not going to get into all those, but the point here is that Jude is making is that these authorities in heaven, and again, another prime example is the devil. Most people believe that the devil was a fallen angel, that he tried to take authority of God or did not like God's authority and tried to take over God or whatever. Okay, and there are those who totally disagree with that idea, because they believe that, you know, once you're in heaven and you're in the presence of God, why would you do evil? Why would you do something wrong? Okay, you know, you're there, you've made it. But again, we see scriptures that kind of go against that thought, and this is one here, that the angels, that they gave up their position of authority. They gave up their power in heaven and came to earth. Again, we do not have scriptures in the Bible that specifically state this. We have scriptures like this that kind of leave it, you know, up in the air for interpretation. But if you take this for what it's saying, that the angels did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, they left heaven, okay? He has kept them in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment on that great day. When is that? Judgment day, okay? When everybody's going to be judged. When everybody that has ever lived will be judged. When Satan and all of his demons and all of his angels or whatever will be judged. Even these angels that left heaven will be judged. Okay? There's going to be one judgment day for everybody, and everybody, including the angels, are going to have to face that judgment with God. Okay? With Jesus, I mean. All right? But again, this is all left up for interpretation, and again, scholars, you know, don't agree. Any questions or other comments on verse 6? All right. Verse 7. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example of undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Here's his second example. Angels were the first example. Now we're getting Sodom and Gomorrah, these two cities that could not find anybody but who that were faithful? Lot and his family. Okay. That could not find anybody faithful within the city except for Lot and his family. They exited the city. What happened to his wife? Okay, again, God gave a simple command. You're leaving the city, don't turn around and look behind you. All the noise, all the screams and the yelling, Lot did what we would do. You hear a noise behind you, what do? You turn around. God said, don't turn around. Lot's wife turned around, and poof, a pillar of salt. Okay. A simple command. And like I always say, the Old Testament, God means what he says. Even something as simple as don't turn around. God means what he says. Okay. Yes, I always tell when Glenn has a car, he always moves his hand, you know, it's his hand, it comes up and he just moves, and says, okay, he's not going to raise his hand, say, I need something, he just kind of flicks his hand. Oh, don't, I've told you my auction stories. Yeah.
And the more, and I always thought it was those cities, but it wasn't. There's a whole area around there that was destroyed. And remember, there was a town that was in this area, and Lot asked God, I need someplace to go, don't destroy this certain little town. So he could go there and have someplace to live.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, when you go over to Europe, England, anywhere over there, and you find a castle with its walled city, is that all there is to that area? No. There's always houses on the outside of the wall. You know, back in the day, there'd be tents, you know, or shanties or something that people didn't make it into. You know, there's no place to live in the castle inside the walls, so they lived outside, and that area grew up into its own little city. And so I'm sure with Sodom and Gomorrah, you had that same thing to where there are cities outside, okay? But we see here, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities were all destroyed by the hell, fire, and brimstone that rained down from heaven and totally wiped out those two cities from the face of the earth, okay? And it was because they were not following God's rules, okay? Sexual immorality, pursued unnatural desires. Remember the story whenever the two angels came into the city that the men were trying to have sexual relations with those two men. Lot took them into his home, and they kept banging on his door trying to get them. Lot offered his own daughters in exchange, okay, to leave those two angels, which those two men alone, okay? But again, they met their judgment, punishment by eternal fire. Any other questions on that? Okay. So we see again the examples, those three examples coming down on what's going to happen to not just men, but from heaven down, that's going to happen if you're not doing what God tells you to do. So now we're going to get into the next section dealing with the dangerous men. Jude gives examples of the rebels. He talked about, again, those three examples. The Israelites, they didn't mind. They didn't do God's will. We talked about the angels, again, the reference in Genesis 6, and then the pagans, Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? So, again, we see God's chosen people, we see angels, a heavenly body, and we see just common man not doing what it is that God has commanded them to do, not following God's will, and they all ended up being destroyed in their own way. Going on in verse 8. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Okay? So, again, these people, I think he's referring to the false teachers, relying on their dreams, they defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. They blaspheme God, they blaspheme Jesus, they blaspheme the Holy Spirit by not teaching the truth, by teaching a crooked truth, if I can use that term, by teaching something other than the truth. Okay? The story of Michael and the archangel disputing over the body of Moses, where is that found? You're right. We don't know. Okay? There is no reference in the Bible that we have as the containing this story of Moses fighting for the body of Moses. Did it happen? Yes. Obviously, because it's in the scriptures, but we don't know anything about it because that story is, again, not in the Word of God. Yes. I know you didn't raise your hand, but he has this look and he moves his mouth and he's like, he's going to say something.
Yeah, well, the last part of that, when it says he did not presume, that's Michael, he did not presume to pronounce his blasphemy. He didn't do it himself.
No.
But what he says is the important part.
Right.
He gives it to God. The Lord did not, just like Jesus said in temptation, I think that's what he said. Get behind me, say, for
it. Right.
This
for it is written.
Yeah, but at some point he says, get behind me, Satan.
Right. Okay. Right. Peter said, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
Right.
He said it to
Peter. Right, yeah. Jesus said to Peter, you're right. Okay. Yes. He's not... Michael did not, if I can say, did not overstep his boundaries and say, I'm commanding you to do this, I'm commanding you to do that, but the Lord is rebuking you. Okay? Now, okay. Any questions or comments about 8 and 9? Right, yeah, he took the authority as he was bringing the water instead of God bringing it. He took the power, and that was the reason Moses did not enter into the promised land because of that. Just that one simple thing kept him out of the promised land.
He said the wrong thing,
but he took the power, the authority, he took the glory I guess, that he was bringing the people water when it was not because of him, it was because of God. But he took that authority. All right, verses 10 and 11. But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. So again, he's talking about these false teachers, okay, that they blaspheme what they do not understand, and that they are destroying by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. So animals, and I've thought about this lately, do everything by instinct, okay? It's been, if I can use the term, embedded into them, okay? They didn't all go to school as babies and instructed on this is what you do. This is how, geese, they didn't sit around, in baby school and say, okay, when the weather starts turning cold, you need to fly south, and then when it gets warm, you can fly north again. Butterflies, the monarch butterfly, flies from the north thousands of miles all the way down to South America. And I saw something one time, it's actually three generations that when they start off, they don't end up making it all the way, that they'll die off in another generation, and by the time they get down to New Mexico or down to Mexico or South America, it's a third generation that turns around and three generations make it back, okay? But they don't sit down and say, okay, now this is what you're gonna be doing. You're gonna be flying north all your life. You're not gonna make it, but somebody else, your two generations, your great-grandfather, your great-grandkids are gonna make it. No, it's instinctively into them. God imprinted that into them to do, okay? And that's what he's saying here, that they're just doing it instinctively without any training, rather out, understanding God's word, that they're doing these false teachings instinctively because, they are, if I can use the term, they're just doing their own gain, for their own purpose. They're not wanting to do it for, follow God's will. Check. Right. And I've tried studying with people that have been indoctrinated or brainwashed or however you want to refer to it, that this is the way it is, and you can't show them the truth in the scriptures and them believe it. Oh, no, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. That's not truth. This is the way it is. And so they're unreasoning about it. And you've got to realize that and move on to somebody else, that you can reach instead of, I don't want to use the term, don't take it the wrong way, wasting your time on somebody that's unreasonable and you'll never reach. I did that one time, with the youth out at the Valley. I had gone through the week here training with them, and they had gone to a coffee shop and were studying, and somebody sitting next to them saw it, and they got into a conversation with this guy, and they called me late Saturday night, I think it was, and I got dressed and went down there to help them and to talk to them and see what was going on. And after talking to the gentleman, I knew that he was more interested in trying to get them to follow him than he was to listen to the truth. And so I ended up giving him my card and said, thank you very much. And, you know, I took the teens back over to the side and they're like, why didn't you keep studying with him? Why didn't you, you know, do this? And I said, you have to realize it was a good lesson for them that you're not going to be able to reach everybody all the time. There are some people, like he's talking about here, that you can't reason with, that they have their own agenda. They're going to do what they want to do regardless. And you've got to be able to realize that and move on. Did Jesus reach everybody that he talked to? No, he didn't. You know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you know, all those he could not reach. He tried, but he moved on to those who he could reach. Okay? And that's what Jude is saying here, is that some people are like unreasoning animals. They just understand instinctively, and there's no way of reaching them. Okay? And they're going to teach what they believe, even though they don't understand it. They don't want to understand the truth. Okay? Woe to them. Big warning. Because what's going to happen in the end? They're going to face the judgment, that same judgment that everybody across time is going to face on that day when Jesus comes back. And they're going to have to give an answer for what it was that they believed in and what they taught and why. And why they didn't want to listen to the truth. Okay? What does it mean that they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain? Cain murdered his brother. Why? Okay. He thought he was doing right. And again, the scriptures do not give us the full detail. We do not see in Genesis God giving him the commands on how a sacrifice was to be offered or what they're supposed to offer or whatever. But Cain's sacrifice of fruit, vegetables, you know, whatever he worked, he was a farmer, things that he worked with his hands, that was not acceptable to God, whereas Abel, his sacrifice of animal was pleasing to God. And Cain got angry because his sacrifice was not acceptable, but his brothers were, and he killed him. Okay? And so he's going back to that, all the way back to the beginning of time, and using that as the example here, and that they abandoned themselves for the sake of gain. Okay? Who was Balaam? No. Yeah, Balaam, but it was Balaam. I'm trying to remember, I didn't write it down. Okay, thank you. I thought I had written it down in my notes, but for some reason I didn't. So again, he was referring back to something in the Old Testament as an example of them perishing. Okay? I was hoping we'd get through the rest of this, but we didn't, and that is fine. I have no problems with that. No, you do not raise too many questions. Again, I have no problems in that. I would rather, if we just covered one verse, I'd be happy with it to answer everybody's questions and learn something. So we will pick up there next week. Yes, sir. Yes, in verse 12. Thank you very much for being here.